Hello. You're listening to What the Fuck Do We Know? When people are asked why they want to get married, a lot of people say because they don't want to die alone. It's like a common thing for people to have someone by their side when they die. Partner or children or something.
A cat.
Whatever it is, actually. Also animals, also pets, right? People are afraid of not just being alone, but loneliness, right? It's a big fear that people have. People are afraid of what loneliness entails and what they have to go through when they're lonely. I guess my first question would be, do you ever feel lonely?
It's actually interesting because I think that throughout most of my life, this is not something I thought of. And this is something that I did think of earlier this week. And I started thinking, what is loneliness? How does it feel? And obviously,
you haven't experienced loneliness before?
Oh, that's what I think that I usually don't experience it. I can be bored alone occasionally, not often, because I like my company. I can imagine, I can feel like, okay, I wish there was another person here because I could have some fun and or something, but I don't think I feel lonely in the way that I feel these negative feelings of being alone.
Yeah, but what do you think is this negative feeling of being alone?
Oh, that's the thing, that I don't think I even know what it feels like. You just have this need for social interaction and it's not satisfying. That's how I imagine it.
I think it's not just social interaction. Like, it's not just like a momentary thing, maybe.
Like connection, bond.
Yeah, it's a bond. You have a need for a bond that is not there. I think that loneliness is like characterized by a yearning for something else. So I don't think that loneliness is necessarily felt by people who enjoy being alone, you know? Well, maybe they do feel it sometimes, because I do enjoy being alone. I've talked about, I think the worst thing I could do right now is move another person into my apartment. But at the same time, I do get lonely. There are moments when I feel like I don't have a strong enough bond with anybody that I feel like I'm not literally alone here, you know? Mm. And I think that it's part of it is being an immigrant. But I'm just feeling just still separated from this place that I don't think that I have that person. So sometimes when I begin to think about it, there are moments when I feel like I want to share something with someone or I want to relate something with someone and I want them to be able to understand me. Then I believe that's when loneliness comes in, because I realize to myself that I kind of don't have that. And in some way, I think what makes it worse is my mind also tells me that I probably will never have that.
Even if you move somewhere else.
Yeah, living away from Nigeria, because I don't, you know how I feel about countries. I don't have a big, but there is a behavior, you know, there is a culture, there's some sort of lifestyle that I grew up with, and that lifestyle is something that I can't get from these other countries. Also, I just think that there's just so much detachment that I cannot feel. And this is not something I want to change in myself.
Detachment from
the place. I cannot feel connected to a place.
Well, what are you sure that if you go back to Nigeria, it's going to feel the same way you remember?
No,
you
haven't it's been not. There for I don't a while. Think it's going to feel the same way I remember, but I think I'm going to be familiar with it, because I've been here a while, but I wouldn't say that I'm familiar with this place. I don't feel connection, so to speak. I know some people that I like. I have some friends. I consider, when I think about why I'm living here, it seems like the best thing to do now. But I wouldn't say that I feel some connection to this place. And so I think that it happens that whenever I consider that, loneliness creeps in. And then I feel alone, because I feel like this like single unit existing here without any kind of, I don't know, community, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe mm-hmm. That's it. I don't know. And so also it's a very obscure example, maybe, but I also think, you know, there are times that I've had negative experiences here that have to do with racism. And in those times, I've observed around me and there hasn't been help.
Any reaction?
There's been like no reaction. And in those days, those are some of the days that I've really felt very lonely, because I don't even think, I've considered it in among our, like, people that we have spent time with, I don't consider that there would be a reaction either from those people. And I just then feel like, shit.
I think there would be some reaction.
I don't think so.
Okay. But regarding the community, I don't know, for me personally, I don't think I am as, not even attached, but I don't think that I have a need for community, or at least it's not that strong maybe compared to you. And I don't know.
No, it's not strong. It's a need for community also that arises. It arises sometimes. Like, it's not I wouldn't call it a need. Maybe it's like a wish, I guess, sometimes, because it would be useful.
But if you feel lonely, it is a need, not in the, like,
it's not something that I aim to satisfy. It's just that I feel like in those moments I understand what loneliness feels like, but it's not something that I aim to change.
Why not? Because it's a negative feeling. Usually people would want to change whatever it takes.
You're not one of those people who,
well, you like to suffer.
I feel negative feelings happen and I go through them. But no, the thing is that what would it take for me to not have that loneliness? It would take more work that I'm willing to do.
Maybe.
And
I don't know.
Probably more discomfort. If my loneliness is connected to, like, me realizing as a person living in this society, I am kind of like this one person, you know, different from all these other people. It would take me relocating somewhere where I wouldn't feel like that. It's a lot of work. I'm not, my desire to be part of some community is not that high that the work is worth it.
But is it possible to, okay, one way is to satisfy the need. Another way to get rid of this need in the first place.
I don't want to do that. I do. It's part of, you know, it's a big question I wrote down after watching Barbie. What is the human experience? For me, it's part of human experience, that, like, feeling that I have. And it seemed like all negative feelings that I have, actually. I think we've talked about it a little bit, where I've gone, like, I kind of don't think that I want to trade off my anxiety and depression.
So suffering is a part of human experience. Of, like,
I wouldn't call it suffering. You know?
Does it bring any meaning to life?
I think that it creates value in not suffering, you know.
Because, like, maybe it's a little bit of a tangent, but, you know, this question, is it about the result or is it about the journey? And, like, and even if we think about some distant or not so distant future, when we live in an abundant world as humanity and everyone has everything, and maybe we come up with some drugs that really maximize our happiness, is it the state of the world we want to live in, where there is no suffering and, like, that's it, like, nothing is happening, everyone is happy, there is no journey, there is no struggle?
No, I have had this conversation with several people. What is the point then of life in that situation? Because if you ask people what is the meaning of life right now, a lot of them will say, what, to find happiness. That is,
but they will say that they want to find it, yes, but what they actually want, to be in search of it.
Yes, that's my point. So my point is, if we do actually have a way to infuse happiness into everyone, right? I don't think it would make, like, just a better world in general, would it?
I think, yeah, I think it would. Because you will still be happy. You will not be able to suffer.
We don't believe, like, I think neither of us believe that we're put here for a specific reason, right? I don't know.
I am. I don't know about you.
No, I don't, right? So, but people, purpose really, like, guides a lot of people's lives. Would you agree? A lot of people do a lot of things for, like, just finding purpose, finding what everything is about, what am I meant for, etc. Happiness, I believe, being in a state of, like, continuous happiness does not give room for contemplation. And the lack of contemplation doesn't mean there is a lack of, like, curiosity, and there is no search. There is no like longing. There is nothing that makes you want something because you're just like in this place where everything makes sense. So I don't consider it good, because what is life if not longing, you know, and search and curiosity?
But again, like this longing, this contemplation, like I personally want it because then it makes you feel good. Maybe even like contemplation, it feels good even in the process.
Right.
But like negative experience, the things that you mentioned, that it's you suffer and then you it makes you feel good afterwards, as a to the contrast of,
I don't know, it suffering. Makes you feel good, but you just appreciate the contrast.
You appreciate, right? It, but if we imagine that the new world kind of case where you are happy all the time, then you will not suffer about not having any kind of journey. You will be happy.
But imagine what happens to society at large when everyone is just happy.
Well, that's
there
a different
is no
question.
Contemplation. There is nobody thinking about how we can solve anything.
That's a different question. But like from
also,
individual
I think
level.
As an individual, I don't consider happiness as a goal for me.
What is the goal?
I don't know. I don't necessarily have one. I think it's just like, don't die early or something.
That's, I listened to this podcast. What's the name of this guy?
Someone else? You're cheating? Who are you listening to? Who?
This guy who has this very expensive protocol to survive.
I have no idea what.
No, you know him.
Protocol to survive?
Yes, like he's like this transhumanist guy who spends millions to test his, to track all of
you
his.
You mean
parameters.
The live guy, the long yes. live guy?
Yeah, Johnson or Bronson.
I don't remember his name.
So this guy, and that's
the one who took his son's blood or something like that? Yeah, the millionaire dedicated his life to, okay, right.
So, and actually one of his points that he made, that he, by the way, he grew up in a Mormon community.
Makes
so,
sense.
So at some point he realized that everything was a lie and...
A lie?
Well...
We don't do that here.
Not a lie.
Allegedly.
Misrepresentation of truth?
Allegedly, we use that word here.
Ah, you do it. You do your thing, I'll do mine.
Okay.
So, and then he started doubting everything. And eventually he just said that, what is the single thing that... One single thing that I want to do... What is my main goal at any point of time? And it is surviving.
I don't have a big problem with his thing. I find it weird, some of the things that he does, because I've seen on Twitter that he posts updates about his nighttime erections, which is like,
but I feel
which is like, I don't know why you're telling us this information, but I have no problem with what he's doing. Just generally, I think if you've got the money, you've got the time, why not? You're not harming anybody. He's doing it to himself.
Honestly, so, I think he, not only that, I think he contributes.
He could actually find science. Yeah, and he could really find things, you know. He could really discover more for us. So I have no problem. I just consider him like a really weird guy.
I don't think it's
stop
weird.
Stop telling us this shit. This one's weird. Why? Like, stop. Like the erectile,
I am quite interested in his erection cycles.
But I actually thought about it. You know, I thought about
his erection?
No. Okay. Don't be smart.
I don't think it's smart.
I thought about this recording of nighttime erection. Now, we've gone so far away from loneliness right now. Maybe we've not. No. Yeah. People who are lonely, statistically...
They jerk off more?
No, they have more nighttime erections than people who are partnered.
Where does this data come from?
Me.
Okay.
I'm very virile. And I'm apparently lonely as we have sometimes lonely as we have established. And those are my most virile nights. God, I hope nobody I know hears this shit.
But okay. We talked about loneliness.
Yeah, let's go back to that.
But there is also solitude. And I feel like the...
Segue. The worst one.
Not a segue.
Go on. Yeah, it was horrible. That's why.
Because I wanted to bring us back to loneliness.
Yeah. Go ahead. Solitude.
But because you also mentioned contemplation.
Right.
And I mean, on the, what's the difference between loneliness and solitude?
Great question.
I just decided to stop speaking. Great, so you stop criticizing question. Me.
And I'm going to answer it right now. Solitude is just being alone. It doesn't, nothing accompanied with the feeling of like longing or desire or like yearning for someone to be around you or for bonding or connecting. It's just being alone.
Yeah. So it's basically you do the same thing as you do when you're lonely, but you don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, pretty much. But I don't think that, you know, when I talked about contemplation, I think the contemplation I talk about comes from like missing something. So I don't think that solitude provides that same level of contemplation. I think that solitude is great for contemplating like ideas, you know, things come into your mind and you think about them. I think it's great for maybe
like more abstract things that are not personal.
Exactly. They're not personal. They're not like, they don't have some kind of personal meaning, so to speak. But I think that there is contemplation that arises from need. That is the contemplation that comes from loneliness or just negative emotion in general. You know? Do you get what I mean?
No, I do. I think I do get what you mean, Parsh. I think for me, this feeling, maybe the best example with my personal life is related to like thinking about the meaning of life, I guess.
Right. Does that come from solitude or loneliness?
I think it can come from both, but I recognize the difference. I think that
I think mine doesn't come from loneliness. Well, yeah, probably.
No, not loneliness.
From depression.
Okay, not loneliness for me. Yeah. Like it that can definitely come from solitude, but it can also come from just like this kind of like suffering angle can come from this expectation that there should be some meaning that comes from I don't know where, but my previous thoughts, and then you have this unmet expectation, and that brings you this kind of like twist of suffering.
I do think that solitude can kind of lead you into loneliness, right? I've talked about like my awareness of existence. That usually comes from solitude. I'm like sitting outside, like when I lived far away, like, or just kind of sitting in my apartment, and then I kind of notice something. I notice something that exists, and I notice that I am witnessing this thing that exists, and then I notice that I exist, right? And in that moment, all this while, there has been no negativity, there has been no yearning associated with my like solitude at that point. But in that moment, when I realize that I exist, I become lonely.
I don't.
It's weird. It doesn't always happen, but then I become lonely. There is a need then that arises. But thing is that I begin to question existence. That's probably what happens.
But how does it help? Like, okay, you start questioning existence. You want to share it with someone?
I don't know. I really don't know the pathway, but I start to question existence. That's usually how it starts. And I think that I drive myself into a depression with questioning existence. And maybe that's where the loneliness then finally rears its head, because I'm depressed. Because I question existence and I'm thinking about, why are we here? What is this? What is all of this? Why am I? How am I? Etc. And then I think I just kind of depress myself. What's depressing is not that I exist, but is that I don't understand. And I think like I just never have I just will never have an answer that I'm looking for. The kind of answer that gives you peace of mind. And I try to reconcile that, and I cannot reconcile with that yet. So I get sad and depressed, and then I become lonely, because at some point I just feel like I would like to share that moment with someone, maybe, and it might make it easier to go through that moment. Maybe that's the progress.
I think it's it does sound reasonable as a pathway. It's just
thank you
through some validation bone, but I don't know, maybe I should learn how to appreciate this.
Yeah, you don't appreciate
feeling
me.
Of sharing. I could actually agree.
You don't appreciate me.
To some
that's
extent.
Why this is the final episode of our podcast.
I don't think people know.
You don't appreciate that I spend more time with you than other people. They don't want to be around you.
What? I don't want to be around them.
Sure.
I think my standards are higher than yours in terms of communication?
Oh, I'm just a more like, I'm open to all kinds of communication in this part of my life. I think it was 2 years ago, I told you, right, that I wanted to open myself up to different kind of spaces. And it has been quite amazing. I've met some people that have been really different and have just like kind of opened me up to this entirely different world that I didn't think that I could fit into. So it does make sense to try something new.
Yeah, but do
instead
you...
of saying standards are lower, higher.
I've never said it. I've never fucking even implied it. When? I said that I have higher
condescending
standards.
Prick.
No, it's not about some people are being better.
No, I think you just feel like you're better than people.
No, it's just like...
Yeah, you're an asshole.
Oh, first of all, I do think that I'm better than many other people. Uh-huh. And nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
and I hope you feel the same about you.
About myself? I'm better than you, yes.
Well, you see? So, communication, standards, solitude... Solitude, I think it's a great state of mind.
I agree.
Is it possible to somehow trigger it, to get yourself into that state of mind?
I mean, you just gotta like, I mean, would you live alone, first of all? that should be like...
You should stop working for like 15 hours per day.
I think that you have to kind of just let things, like let go of things that are around you, let go of distractions when you're alone. And that happens to me sometimes. You know, I just kind of sit and observe, but I have like this wandering mind, so a lot of things go through in that time, but still I think you can just kind of sit and just be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe meditation can help with that.
Yeah, I do three minute meditations, by the way. I've been trying to keep in someone told me I should, not every day, I would say maybe 3 or 4 days a week. I've been trying to be good with it because I have problems sleeping, and I've been told to focus on my like forehead while I meditate, and I've been trying to do it, but another person said I should have an anchor, so I've been trying to do both things, have an anchor and focus.
Can your anchor be
my forehead?
Yes.
no, the anchor, as the person said, so the person who told me to focus on my forehead, I think that's the better advice. I do hope the other person doesn't but I still do the anchor thing, because the anchor, I've been told, brings me back. So I'm supposed to choose some sound that occurs kind of almost naturally in my space, not naturally, but just always there, something that can pull me back, because I have a wandering mind. So when I begin to wander, I need to go to that sound.
I usually know. Don't you notice when you start wandering?
Honestly, I don't sometimes.
Oh my God, your brain.
I really don't. And so this pulls me back. But yeah, I think meditation helps you to learn how to just be, you know, how to exist. Without.
Also, I was thinking, like, I said that I don't think I'm lonely, but then, like, I started doubting.
Then you asked me to come here and talk to you.
Get out of here. But, like, am I 100% sure that I don't feel lonely?
Would you like?
Maybe I am in denial.
Would you like me to say something about that?
Yeah, sure.
I think that you feel good being a person who is above emotional simplicity. I think that you characterize yourself as a person who is kind of above that, like, sensitivity and emotional, like, luggage and baggage that a lot of people experience. You don't have a lot of emotional connection to people. You don't have a lot of empathy. It's a sickness, but we'll deal with that later. Kidding. But no. But on a serious note, I think that that is a thing of pride to you. You're a pretty good thinking person. And I think that it is important to you that you are not bogged down by emotions. And I think that that plays a hand.
Gosh, you have a lot to say.
I have thought about this. Can I excuse I think that plays
it's
a
like,
hand.
Like
you
Putin,
not...
okay, I'll just take 30 seconds right. to talk about
now,
history.
Now, remember when you were in Poland in 1914?
Remember 3 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. No, but I've told you this before, kind of, but not in this way. But I think that you have, like, so I think that that thought, that kind of image of yourself that you have created, like, stops you from allowing yourself to be vulnerable to the feeling of loneliness, because it will crack this like person that you have tried to create. It's why you don't tell people you like them. You don't tell people like that they are your friends, etc.
I have other reasons for that. Okay.
I think I'm right. What do you think? I would give myself an A+ in my
evaluation. No, I think it's a good hypothesis.
I know you. I know you.
But I don't think, I mean, maybe some part of me, a small part, I could see it, but I don't think that there is a big chunk of me that just...
Of course you don't.
I do it just in order to feel special.
I don't think that you are consciously doing it. I think that you have created this thing for yourself and it's working on a subconscious level. Of course I've told you before.
How would we know?
Well, you could allow me to crack that skull of yours. No, but I don't think that you're consciously doing it. I think that subconsciously you have created all these barriers, especially when it comes to emotional connection. That, and even with yourself, that you will not, yourself will not allow yourself to experience.
I mean, loneliness. I thought about it.
But you experience depression a lot. I think.
Actually, like not clinical depression for sure.
Of course not.
Look, I mean, I can be kind of like sad, but yeah. I don't think it's. I've never had.
But if you want to get out of being sad, do you not find a logical way to get out of being sad?
Well, I don't. It's not even. It doesn't happen often. And I haven't been in a situation where I would find it complicated to just stand up, you know, and do anything. Like, I have never been that demoralized. And this is, I think this is the kind of the cornerstone of depression.
Yeah.
But like, I personally, I've never been in that place. Well, I've never been in the place contemplating suicide. It's just like, for me, it's pretty, I guess the baseline of my emotions is pretty stable. And there are no swings, ups or downs. But I did think about this connection and attachment. And like, I tried to trace it back to childhood.
Well, I think that it's I don't know your parents well, but from what we've talked about, it's very clear.
It's really not. I don't think so. I have good parents.
I don't think they're bad, but I just don't think, I don't want to say something bad.
About my parents, you better don't. No, but I mean, I tried to trace it back to childhood. And like, I remember when I moved, like I had friends and I moved like to different places. And my connections just were cut off. And
I had the same thing.
But the problem is that I tried to recall whether I was actually upset about it. And I couldn't remember being upset about it.
Same here. Until 25, I didn't. Well, no. That would be a lie. I have two friends. One of them I still talk to from time to time regularly. And the other one, maybe once a year, but two people that I think started my like journey to connecting to people. These two people. Oh no, three people actually.
The number keeps growing.
No, three people, because I just remember one. Because we get into connection and then we get out and then we connect again and it's a lot. And it's a lot. And then we don't. But so before that, of course, just like you, I went to different schools, I was in different places, and I just kind of, you know, I didn't really care. But
so was it because you actually didn't care, or you subconsciously protected yourself?
No, I didn't care at that time. But also, maybe if we want to like go really deep into it, we can go to my childhood and find how I put up this barrier, because it's a long story. But I think that there is some level of like there is some subconscious like work happening for me to not care about it, because I detached from people. But when I decided to start doing it, to start keeping connections with people strong, you know, it was because it was a silly reason, I think now, but I had a lot of friends who were getting married. I didn't want to get married, but they were getting married and they had people as part of their wedding parties. And a lot of them were like, here's my friend of, you know, 15 years, or here's my friend from kindergarten and stuff. And I was like, shit.
Where's my friend
from kindergarten, you know? Where is my 20-year friend or something? And I didn't have those friends. And I thought, okay, maybe it there is some sense in having someone that you have such a long bond with and a long connection with. And I set out to try to create that with some people. I don't think I have yet.
Why does it, as an idea, as an idea, as a concept, why was it so alluring for you?
It's the level of like knowledge of each other, I think, that was a thing for me. Because even if I don't necessarily want to live with people and I don't feel that much connection with people, I feel more than you, but not as much as like a regular person, you know. That is to say that you're very weird. But now, even if I don't feel as much connection with people, I do sometimes have moments. I have moments that I want to be able to like talk about some things with some people and kind of have them to have history, you know, about these things.
That's coming back to having this bond.
Yeah, it's a bond that you have history. They have a frame of reference. They know you. Also, it's just like also laughing about it. It's history, I think. I wanted to have history with people. I wanted to be able to. I found it. It's not something that was, oh, so kind of amazing, but I found it cute that we're like, oh, remember when we were in school and we did this and now we're still able to talk about that. I just thought, well, I don't have that. And that's something that's nice. And I would like to create that kind of bond with someone where we have history, you know. You and me. I can't continue the song because we'll have to pay for it, I think.
I think just one thing came to my mind while you were speaking, and it's, I think it's a common kind of like a blocker, or at least, I don't know, common for me maybe. When you, like, sometimes we change, and we change quite radically, you know, and it's quite hard to continue your previous relationships sometimes because they get you grounded to particular behavior. Mm-hmm. People see you in a particular way. And it's really hard to go against it. And it's not only it's hard to convince other people that you're a different person. It takes time. But on the other hand, it's like psychologically, it does a number on you. It's hard for you personally to feel different because you already have in your brain embedded those habits from the past. And whenever you see those people, you go back to it. So, and I feel like I have like
100%
from people because of that. Yeah.
No, that's definitely part of it. I think I've told you I had a conversation with one of my really good friends in the past. And we were talking and she mentions how we don't talk anymore. And I don't like really communicate. And I was like, well, yeah, because we don't really have that much to talk about anymore. We have nothing in common. And I said, we have grown differently in the past several years, but not like growing, like, you know, being raised, but we have connected with totally different ideologies. Our mindsets are totally different. And I didn't say the last part, but like the last part was, of course, like I didn't want to be that person anymore. And communicating with her at that point I would have to be that person to make her comfortable in the communication because she couldn't handle the change that I had gone through. And it's part of a lot of friendships that I ended. The change is massive. And I know that like I've changed a lot.
So how do you preserve a friendship from kindergarten, considering that people go through this transition?
I don't think it would be possible. I think people who preserve those, they don't really change that much. Yeah.
So how do you, as a person who does change, how do you expect?
I can't have it, you know, but I want to have it from like 25. Jesus Christ.
You don't expect to change that much in the future?
No, I don't. I think I'm already who I am now.
I think I've been changing. Like, okay, I agree that I think that, yeah, generally speaking, after like teenage years, I guess like this rate of change, it kind of reaches this, it flattens, the curve flattens. But like for me,
there are minor changes, but it's not enough.
Yeah, but in my case, I think that. I
think you're special.
Not special, just different. but I do think that like this curve, it might be not as steep as it used to be. But honestly, maybe it's even steeper than it used to be. I mean, it's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a good thing, but it doesn't have to be a good thing.
Yeah, right. Of course, you think that you are just like changing better than other people.
I didn't say for the better. I said just changed.
No, I didn't say for the better. I said just think you're doing the changing better than other people.
Okay, I do change better than other people.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, okay, I do think that I have changed in the past 5 years, of course, but I don't think that it's been such like a, it's as radical as from when I was 20 to when I was 23. That was like totally different person.
Okay.
And not even like maybe when I was, I think I started changing when I was 16, but it was a gradual change and it was a change that I didn't really accept. And I was like, I have to stay where it's comfortable. I remember when I was 16. And this has a lot to do with church. But anyway, I had to go like, okay, no, I want to stay where it's comfortable for me. And it gradually happened until I was 21. I think that was like my real, like, you got to get out of this person because this is not you anymore. And when I was 23, I was pretty much like fine with the person I was, you know, becoming. But I think that I've changed, but just like a little bit. But I don't wanted to like, I don't want to stay on the topic of change until but I want to go back to loneliness and to solitude. I, although with this like desire to have like a friend, a long-term friend, I don't have that desire so strong that I'm willing to ignore like where there are just not good matches, you know, okay, for that friendship.
No alignment.
So, yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm not, if it happens that there is nobody that I can connect with that much to have that long-term friendship, then it's okay.
How many people? Oh, okay.
Just one person.
Ralph, no, okay, yeah, I agree that
I can't do
when it comes to these bonds, I think you will agree that it's not about quantity, it's about quality.
Quality, yes, but I do a little bit. It's not a big envy, but I envy...
Me?
I envy people who go on like girls trips and boys trips, you know, and there's like six boys or six girls. We went to school together or something. I don't think I'd be comfortable doing that. But still, I kind of envy that level of ability to have six close friends. What the fuck? I don't have that ability.
So complicated.
Yeah.
Six people.
Yeah. I just...
How do you navigate that?
I envy it a little bit. If I'm being honest, I just kind of go like, that's...
I don't.
Maybe that's nice, but it seems so difficult for me for that to happen.
I think that's the problem, like, with these relationships and when you have, like, polyamory relationships. Like, how to navigate that shit?
Right, you know?
It's like, I don't care if people have other relationships, but, like, imagine you having several relationships and you have to... devote time, you have to have a schedule,
cheat with multiple,
you have to talk partners. To everyone, you have to memorize everyone's boundaries and like what they want.
So much work.
It is
so much work, but even one partner is a lot.
Even yourself is like, how do I keep track of my shit?
Exactly. Sometimes you just forget your own birthday.
Well, actually, I do forget how old I am occasionally.
I remember.
Okay, good to know.
I'll keep you updated.
You have a calendar.
Every time it changes, I'll let you know.
But coming back to your assessment of me, and...
Someone's so self-involved today. What? Your assessment of me?
No, but I wanted to ask, like, so you might think that you enjoy solitude, and this is...
I might think.
One might say, but how do you, but sometimes, you know, there's, I think it's like a fable about a fox and grape, when like...
Fox and a grape?
Yeah, fox and grape, I think.
The fruit?
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So a fox wanted to eat this grape, but it was too high for her, so she couldn't reach the vine. And then she just gave up and... On her way back, she just convinced herself that...
They, by the way. The fox was a they.
No, it's she.
I believe it was a they.
Oh, no. They changed their fluid. It's they, she.
By the way, we are not phobic.
We are not phobic. Foxophobic?
I don't know. Fox gender phobic. We accept all foxes. No one.
So, and they, she convinced themselves, herself, that they didn't want to eat this grape in the first place because it's probably was sour, saying, yeah. Right? So,
it probably was sour.
Well, must have been sour.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, how do you how do you not fall into that kind of like it's a defense mechanism,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
when you can't get access to connection, and then
I didn't want it at all. Right. Yeah. I don't know, because I think right now I don't feel that way. But, you know, I've thought about it before. Is it possible that when I think about it with relationships sometimes. Right now, I don't want to be in a relationship. I consider it like so stressful. I consider that my mind is not just in the mood to have space to care for another person. The way relationships that we know traditionally have been like, have created like the way relationships should look like. I cannot handle that right now. But sometimes, and I don't search for it. And I don't know if I searched for it, if I would find it. And sometimes I ask myself, are you choosing not to want it because you think that you cannot find it? And because you haven't found it, you just decide, oh no, I didn't want it at all. I ask myself that, but then I answer myself, I don't want anybody walking in my apartment. So yeah, I'm good. I'm good. But no, it's a good question. I think that people do fall into that a lot. A lot of people do face that. And I think it's possible that maybe in the future I will face that. But I don't think now. No, I don't have that now.
It's also, I think I want to ask you this question. Like, alignment is very important, right? And like the level of work it takes, it's really the depends on how aligned you are
right.
with the other person. And I think that some people are, I don't know, maybe you disagree with me, but some people are more, have more options out there than
right.
other people.
Right? 100%.
Okay, so would you consider that you were given the hard deal?
Yeah. I did. I drew the short stick in this one.
What about me? Is my stick shorter?
Yeah. I mean, in many ways.
You don't know that.
Okay.
So your stick is short. My stick is shorter.
I mean, when we consider like the average...
Okay, let's factor out race and that you're living in Ukraine.
What are we talking about?
I don't know what kind of sticks you are talking about.
Sorry. Okay, no. Yeah, no, yeah, I think I drew a short stick on this one because, no, factor out Ukraine. When I was home in Nigeria, I was not connecting with 100, aligning with everybody I met. I think people didn't like me, honestly. I was kind of a bitch.
But it was because of you.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
By you. You've changed.
No, I think that was unfair to myself. I wasn't a bitch. I just wasn't very interested in many of the things that people are interested in, that people were interested
so
in.
You're special.
I know.
Now who thinks of those terms highly.
Yeah, right.
Special okay. boy.
But no, I don't think that I don't think it matters. I think here it becomes worse. Definitely. But yeah, I think that I'm not. I force myself sometimes, but no, I told you I've been like, I started looking for new people. There's some people that are just so different from my regular conversations, but I enjoy it so much and I'm amused and I'm so interested these days, actually, that it's cool. But I think that it's very difficult for me to...
When you say amused... So
I don't... You think of it as a bad thing, but I'm just like, it's fun.
No, but... Okay, what... The connotation that I get.
I know the connotation that you get.
Which is what?
Which is like, I'm kind of like a jester. Like, they are jesters and I'm kind of enjoying this kind of entertainment.
It's not necessarily that negative, but it's just something that is unusual for you. And you're like, oh, this is like interesting. I've never experienced it. And like, you are experiencing it as something new.
Yeah.
But once you get through this phase of it being new, you will be maybe bored with it or you will not be interested.
So I don't think I can do it like I can like do it a lot, but no, I think that it is interesting enough for me to always like find a space in my head to be around those people and try to connect with them. And it's different.
Even the way you say it, it feels like they're simplistic people. Like
no, they're not, it's not simplicity. It's just different from what I'm usually interested in at all. They talk about other things. They have different interests that I don't really go to. I don't consider something like, I don't know, I'm not very interested in art. I don't consider it simple. I'm not interested in it.
Art is stupid.
So if I meet someone who is interested in art, I'm amused by it because I'm like, wow, okay, there's just things that I don't think about. Fashion is another thing. I don't think about it. generally. So when I meet someone who is really interested in fashion, I'm really kind of like amused by their interest and it piques my interest. And when I'm around them, I can ask questions about fashion. It probably doesn't affect my life too much, but it's just interesting to hear.
You don't get them infected with those interests.
No. What I enjoy is like hearing them be interested in their interests. So
cool. Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Also, I'm training my mind to be able to talk about it. That's another benefit. I'm just training myself to be able to talk about things that I'm not that interested in because I need to.
Oh, this is your work.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, last topic.
Yeah.
Digital communication.
Right. Is it replacing in-person communication? Is it doing a good job of replacing?
Yeah.
I don't
think so. And we went through COVID and that was a great test, I guess.
There was?
Yeah.
What?
A great test.
Are you saying great or great?
Great. Like, good.
Okay.
That bug is coming. So yeah, a lot of people were isolated.
Right, that's and correct.
I think that's... I did actually read some study that they compared loneliness, actually, of people, and they compared extroverted people to introverted.
Mm-hmm. And I guess extroverts were more lonely.
Yeah, for extroverts, there was a statistically significant difference mm-hmm. in terms of their, well, it was self-reported, their perception of their mood and emotions. But for introverts, there was no difference.
Why would there be?
Oh, because they had to stay with extroverted people at home.
Right. About digital communication, I don't think it has replaced in-person communication. I thought it would at some point, and that's why I was like into these like virtual things. But there is something about talking to a person, like being around them. Maybe not for everyone, but for like me, I don't meet that many people. 80% of my time is spent alone, and most of my communication is over Zoom. But there is a difference. There is a feeling. There is a connection that you get from just being around someone's company. I think it does feel better than just.
I do think it partially replaces it.
In terms of just how much of it is being done, yes. But I don't think that when I'm talking about replacing, I don't think that you can get the same level of satisfaction that you get from communicating with a person.
But it's better than nothing.
It is better than nothing, okay. Of course, but I don't think you can get the same level of satisfaction that you will get from being around the person. Even touch is very important. Just seeing a person's eyes really not through some virtual thing. And also think of connection and reasoning and stuff like that. I think it could replace it, but it wouldn't replace the value, I think, to me at least.
I think that on average, I would agree, but at the same time, I think it depends also on the person. There is some individual variability. Some people are more like tactile, maybe. Other people are hate this kind of stuff. But I don't know.
Love languages? Are we talking about
love languages? What is your love language?
I think if someone asked me that, like in a kind of romantic situation, I might lose my mind. But I'm not going to say that on this podcast because maybe my future, I'm done.
But I honestly, one way to maybe explain it is the volume, like amount of information that you get. So like when you communicate through just voice, it's just like voice channel, right? Mm-hmm. When you see the person, it's additional channel.
Right.
When you touch the person, it's additional channel. And then like when you see someone in person, it's like 3D already. Yeah, well, kind of. And then you like also there is no delay, and that is important. Like even with like making a podcast or like radio show online, like it loses its energy when hosts are in different locations.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that is a big part of it. You just have less information to work with
from the other person.
Yeah,
I would call it less emotional connection. Not information.
Well, I'm very analytical, I guess, but like emotional connection comes from you getting information. Like technically speaking, you get information out like their like face. Right. You can see their face better. You can sense what they're feeling better because you have more information about their face.
I agree with you.
finally.
Right. So we're gonna end it here?
Yeah, I mean, you agreed with me for the first time. So
goodbye?
Goodbye. Good night.